Mark Moser. He is the play-by-play voice for the Colorado Avalanche. Been with the team forever. Mark, are you in Toronto right now? What's it like being back up north here?
Well, we're actually not in Toronto. We're going to be doing this game from the studios.
Gotcha.
Tonight. Yeah, most of the Canadian trips we will not be on in terms of TV, but the rest we will be on. And believe me, it's been since December of 2019 since I've been in Toronto, and I miss it tremendously, so I wish I was there tonight.
Yeah, we miss you too, Mark. We miss you too. But tonight's going to be a good game. Would you say that this is perhaps the biggest test of the year for Colorado? Because I think it is for Toronto.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about it. I mean, the way the Maple Leafs are playing, it's incredible. I do a morning radio show every week here in Denver, and we talk to the coach, Jared Bednar, every Tuesday, and we specifically asked about facing the Maple Leafs, you know, yesterday before they took off for Toronto, and heck yeah, it's a huge challenge because the Leafs are just so good. And I know that everybody in Toronto, you know, you want the results in the postseason. Until they win a playoff series, you know, nobody's going to really, you know, believe or anything like that. So perhaps, you know, a lot of people are just along for the ride. But I think people outside of Toronto recognize just how good this team is right now. I mean, Jack Campbell's been unreal. You know, the power play and the PK are both top 10. You've got stars galore all over, so it really is a heck of a challenge for the Colorado Avalanche, especially for a team, again, that is trying to, you know, make up some ground here because they have the fewest games played and they haven't been on a road trip like this so far this year. So this is it's a big test for this Avalanche squad.
It's always interesting to hear Leafs takes from outside of this market. I was seeing some rumblings on Twitter recently saying things like that the Canadian media is not sold on the Leafs, but in the States they're really sold on the Leafs. But I think everyone here is just protecting their feelings, not wanting to get...
Joe, I would be sold on that team. I mean,
yeah, totally.
If I was calling games for that team, I'd be like, heck yeah, these guys are good. But again, you know, it's kind of like the Avalanche with, you know, the losses in the second round the past 3 years. You know, the proof is in the postseason. And if you don't do it there, then what does it even matter for 82 games?
Yeah, but Colorado's been scoring like a machine recently, averaging over 5 goals a game, even in McKinnon's absence. What's been working so well lately?
I think it's a total... What seemed to me, they had a couple of games against Columbus that they dropped, and they got 1 point out of one. They had 2-1 leads going into the third period, and they ended up losing both the games. They took one into overtime and lost it. And I just think they weren't themselves. They weren't playing, you know, the kind of hockey that got them to where they were the past couple, 3 years. And so they came back. They had really hard practices, long practices, 2 days in a row, because you never get time to practice. And they just reemphasized to Jared Bednar, you know, what got them to where they were. And that is starting out in the defensive end. And I know it sounds crazy that this Avalanche team has so much talent up front, so much goal-scoring ability, but it really does start in their own zone. And then everything, when the legs and the brain are flowing in the defensive zone, the Avs attack, you know, as well as or, you know, better than anybody as a group in the National Hockey League, because their defensemen are so mobile, are so, you know, able to move the puck. And that's where it started. And they just started to go on a tear. Of course, they lose Nathan McKinnon. But everybody sort of just, as you said, picked up the slack, including Nazem Kadri, who's been unbelievable. And that's where it all started. And I heard Austin Matthews talking about his 200-foot game. He is playing that right now. And he's playing a simple, smart 200-foot game. He's racked up the points. Cale Makar has racked up the points. You know, everybody just sort of bought in a little bit more without the number one center and one of the best players in the world. And so far, it's really worked for them. They've won 7 of their last 8.
You talk about Nazem Kadri, and he returns to Toronto tonight, and you know, a heater is almost, like, not even the right word to use, but 23 points in 12 games.
Crazy.
It's mind-boggling what this guy's been able to do and has really stepped up in the absence of Nathan McKinnon. But what do you think has been, like, the biggest reason for his success this year? What's he doing differently?
Well, I just think he's totally committed. You know, I don't know if what happened last year in the postseason had a hangover effect in terms of, hey, you know, I've got something to reprove, you know, this coming year. I don't know if that figures into it or not. But he did not have a great year last year overall, you know, and he's incredibly engaged. He's just, as I said, he's playing hard, but he's playing smart, really smart. I'd say another interesting factor in all of this, too, and it may seem like, you know, on the outside looking in, that's not that big of a deal. But when he's got something going with his line mates in terms of Val Nichushkin and Andrei Burakovsky, they're an incredibly effective line. And so when Nathan MacKinnon goes out, I think the first idea is, oh, well, let's just bump Kadri from the two to the one and let him play with Landeskog and Rantanen. And that's not what Jared Bednar did. Now, he does play with them on occasion when Nathan MacKinnon's not in there, but he mostly plays with his normal line mates, and they bump somebody else up. In fact, Logan O'Connor was playing on the wing with Rantanen in the middle for most of the time that Nathan MacKinnon was out. And it's because when they're clicking, they're really clicking. And Nichushkin, everybody allows everybody to do something else. You know, Nichushkin is not a great goal scorer, but he's effective out there. He's big and he's strong, and he stays with the play, and he forces turnovers. And then, you know, Kadri can distribute. Kadri can score. Burakovsky is a sniper. And so it's all just sort of come together, including on the power play. Nas has put himself in, you got to give him credit, he's put himself in perfect position to be able to capitalize on the chances he's gotten. And it's been not only noticeable, it's been much needed for this Avalanche team.
Kadri also has a really healthy cap hit at about $4.5 million. Is he one of the biggest bargain players the Avs have this year? And how tough is he making it on the Avs to keep him around?
Yeah, I think when the deal went down, in all honesty, I think it was, you know, the cost certainty of Kadri, who was, you know, had 3 years left on that deal, when the deal went down, it was a very appealing thing to this Avalanche team, because what you did is you got a legit number two for your squad behind MacKinnon. And that's why the Avs saw him. And you got him at cost certainty at 4.5. And I know, listen, if you could just spend to the moon, you know, it would be great if the cap didn't exist. But, you know, good for him, too, because he's right now, I mean, he's earning himself, big-time contract coming up next year, whether it's from the Avalanche or from somebody else. And, you know, all the credit goes to him because he's really been stepping it up. And I don't know what the future holds or what he could command on the open market. I really don't know. But right now, I mean, it helps the Avs, you know, re-sign a Gabe Landeskog, re-sign a Cale Makar, have the money, you know, that you're going to need to re-sign Nathan MacKinnon and get that deal done, because he's going to double his salary. So it's been a big help for this team to allow them to do what they want to do, and that's construct a roster that they hope can go all the way.
In conversation with Mark Moser, play-by-play voice of the Colorado Avalanche, Colorado in town tonight, taking on the Maple Leafs. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. And Cale Makar is another guy who's absolutely tearing it up right now. He's got 7 goals his last 8 games, 14 points. Has he taken the mantle, do you think, as the top D-man in the NHL?
If he hasn't, he's close. You know, I watched some of these other great defensemen play. Heck, I was watching Hedman last night play in St. Louis with the Lightning, and I'm like, oh my God, he's just so good, you know. I look at some other just, you know, terrific players around the league, but I'm biased because I see our guy every game, you know, and I know how good he is, and I know that he's probably got another gear he can even go to. And he, guys, you'll see it again tonight. I mean, he skates so well. He's so smart. He has got a great shot. You know, he's in a lot of proper position an awful lot of the time. He's got everything going for him right now. And he can play even a physical game if you want him to. I mean, he'll put that shoulder right in somebody's chest coming down the boards and level a guy. Maybe you'll see a little bit of that coming up tonight. We'll see. But he's got a complete game. And his scoring is unbelievable. I mean, his ability to walk the blue line and get the shot through is uncanny. And again, like Val with Kadri, you know, you throw Devon Taves there too, and those two have instant chemistry. We've been talking about this. I know this sounds silly because Canada is so loaded with star defensemen, but if Team Canada is looking for a pair at the Olympic Games, Devon Taves, he cannot be praised enough by his coaching staff and by Cale Makar on how he allows Cale to operate. But Taves also can score, and Taves is a point of game guy, more than a point of game guy this year, and he is a great defenseman. And so I would say this, that Makar may be the best defenseman in the league, but I would argue to you that right now, as we talk at this second, that is the top pair in the league. And I know Devon Taves probably won't get any consideration, or maybe he won't, I don't know, but damn, if I'm Team Canada and I want a pair that I don't have to worry about in the Olympic Games, I throw Devon Taves on with Cale Makar and I let them go crazy over in China.
I don't think you're that crazy to suggest that either. And knowing that, like, these are tournaments that are so quick, there's not much time to build chemistry. You have a built-in pair that you know plays exceptionally well up against some of the league's elite. I mean, it's not that crazy to suggest.
Didn't Landeskog go out of his way to... Yeah, exactly.
Well, maybe I should shut up because I want USA to win. I want our guys to get it. Maybe I should just stop giving Team Canada some ideas. But no, Taves is he and Kale right now, they're just really, really awesome.
I just want them to go to the Olympics, which every day kind of seems like it's getting a little less and less likely. But, Mark, I'm curious to get your maybe quarter-season report card for the new netminder, Darcy Kuemper, there in Colorado.
I think it's been a little bit up and down. You know, his numbers are not super spectacular, but there have been games where he's won games for them. And, you know, there's been times when the offensive output was not what you want it to be, yet Kuemper, you know, kept them in games and even won games for them. I think as we go along through this season, I think what you're looking for is for Kuemper to get stronger, more chemistry with the guys in front of them. And again, the Avs have had so many injuries this year. And when you come to a new team, you got to figure out how, you know, each defenseman plays, how they play as pairs, you know, which forwards do you not have to worry about in the back check, which ones do you need to keep an eye on if they're on a man, that sort of thing. I think that all factors into it. But I guess I would like to see Darcy Kuemper just, you know, have some lockdown games. He doesn't have a shutout yet this year. I feel it's coming. But I'd love to see him just have one of those lockdown games, you know, like we've seen Campbell do this year. He's got 3 shutouts where you say, you know what, just give me 1 or 2 and I'm going to be totally fine and you guys don't worry about anything. I would say at the beginning of the season it was up and down, a little adventuresome, but he's in the last month or so, he's really settled in.
Mark, big news up in Canada recently is that Bergevin is out as the Habs GM, and you've been covering the Avs for a really long time, even during Patrick Roy's time as head coach and his time as a player. He's expressed some interest in the Habs GM job. How do you think he'd do in that role?
I think Patrick is a brilliant hockey mind. I mean, he's a guy that I interviewed, you know, a bazillion times when I was doing the radio for the Avs. We, you know, talk hockey virtually every single day, and he's got a brilliant hockey mind. I mean, he really does. But the thing about Patrick is, you know, if he's working with somebody who's above him, you know, how does that work? And you know, how much control would he have over things truly? You know, where does the final decision rest? Here's what I do know. I think Patrick Waugh can help any team in the National Hockey League in that capacity. I just think, you know, he knows the game clearly. He loves the game, and he's a working son of a gun. And I think he would be able to help anybody. Now, whether, again, it's the right situation with the Habs or it's somebody else and he can bide his time, I don't know. But I just get a feeling that Patrick Waugh is not done with the National Hockey League.
Mark, thank you so much for joining us tonight, and enjoy the game, and good luck on the call.
My pleasure, guys. Great to talk to you. We'll see you soon, hopefully.
Absolutely. Can't wait to get you back up here to Canada. That's Mark Mosier, play-by-play voice of the Colorado Avalanche. Avs in town tonight, take on Toronto, a game you can hear right here on TSN 1050. Yeah, I